Hi, lovies. This is Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC / Mystical Times here on Universal Spirit Podcast. And we are in our 10th series or season, sorry. And we are talking about working with deities. And we are on episode 4 talking about Asian deities, Asian gods and goddesses. So the gods and goddesses we'll be talking about would be Lord Rama, Goddess Sita, Lord Ganesh, Kali or Kali Ma, Buddha, and Tyson Ye. You may or may not be familiar with some or most of these spirits or gods, goddesses, and entities, but they are very prevalent in Asian and Eastern magical, traditional religious folklore. So I'm just going to reiterate that these are spirits and entities that I work with, okay? So it's not saying that you have to work with them. It's really just that these spirits and entities came to me at different times in my life, and I responded to them in different times in my life, because I would be honest to say that I would know Lord Rama came to me, okay, when I was very, very young, but I did not answer that call. The only thing that I could do to really identify with the spirit being around me, which was good because he represents strength and, you know, like eternity, okay, and definitely divine focus. And I do have a collection dedicated to Lord Rama on my website. But when I was very, very young, okay, I'm still very connected to Eastern traditions, you know, religion and, you know, way of life and culture. I love just Indian culture. And when I mean Indian culture, I mean India, the country, okay? Highly connected. It was, you know, not my first encounter with religion and, you know, magic and all that stuff, but it's the only one that stands out to me even to this day. I'm 36 years old. Stands out to me the most. I named my business, you know, after karma, which is a very, very old Hindu belief system of what comes around goes around. And then when I went into high school and I was taught about the Hindu religion, I just got swept off my feet. Right? Like, I just could not resist. It was almost as if I hit a brick wall, and if it was chasing me, it caught me right then and there. And I mean, like, freshman year in high school, where it was like, there's no running now. We're going to learn everything there is to know about the Hindu religion. And Lord Rama was not the first thing I learned about, but it was the first connection that I made, because I did grow up being a fan of that movie, A Little Princess. Okay, and I know it makes a lot of references, you know, to other pieces of Indian culture, but they do talk about the story of Lord Rama and Goddess Sita and how, you know, they fell in love, but they were being chased by a very evil entity because he was the heir to a Hindu god, and that for years and years, you know, Sita had been kidnapped. And they had gone on this quest to look for her. So I'm kind of blending two stories in one. So this is Rama and Sita together, right? And the biggest, you know, theme of Sita and Rama was that the marriage and, like, the love and the way that the masculine and the feminine can work together as long as Rama was strong, focused, and true, and that Sita was beautiful and dutiful. Though in the end, Sita does end up getting a divorce from Rama because, you know, it's like eventually she does become his equal, and they are no longer, you know, compatible with each other. I too also have a collection dedicated to Goddess Sita as well, for divine loyalty. Okay, so Sita is described being the most loyal, like the head of what the word loyal is in regards to, you know, her being kidnapped, waiting for her to be rescued, still being in love with Rama, still being, you know, faithful to Rama. And even after they realized that they were incompatible, that she was still, you know, in love, maybe not in love, but still had love for him. And they still had love for each other. And I honor both deities by Rama being the color blue and Sita being the color yellow, but it'd be more like a deep yellow, almost like a goldish orange type. Or you can really mix them together, but you know, I get kind of like a peachy type. I give her like peachy type colors when working with both of them. I try not to get too of a baby blue when it comes to Rama, because he does represent power but also stoicism, right? And Sita represents loyalty as well as radiance. But these two in particular just, you know, is a really good example, especially if you read the Ramayana. I forgot to leave that, forgot to mention that, is that it's the best love story in the world, in my opinion, right? You could definitely have a different opinion, but I was introduced, you know, that was my first love story, you know, that I saw. So to me, it was just like, that's the highest. Even though they were not compatible anymore, it still was a great, not only love story, but they both characters developed throughout that story, and the loyalty and the focus, it did make it all worth it. But it's like, you know, love is always the prize you always want to win, right? And that was the like my best example. I am like stuttering all over the place today. So when honoring them, just remember that love can exist between two people who are no longer compatible. This has to do with divorced couples, separated couples. And it's not a bad thing to still have feelings for someone. Like, love is love. Love is not wrong. Okay? We can have love for a villain, but the love, you know, the person is a person. You know, villain or not, you know, still a person that could be misguided or whatever and has to go through another incarnation, through the incarnation cycle. But it definitely puts love way below our ego, okay, and definitely brings it into the center of our hearts. The third god I'm going to get to is going to be Lord Ganesh, or you know, is known as Lord Ganesha, which is the elephant-headed, which is one of the most popular gods in Hindu folklore, okay. He also has four arms, and Ganesh is the representation of the removal of obstacles. So Ganesh came to me, I would say, in about 2012. I did start to have a lot of dreams about elephants, that elephants were coming to me in dreams, very positive. I actually, one particular dream was that an elephant was coming toward me very, like, you know, slowly and very lovingly, and then it turned around and then showed me how the elephant stomps on the ground. Like, he was showing me how he stomps and how all the other animals would get out of his way. And not too long after that dream, I did end up becoming separated from my ex-husband, and there were a long, long road of obstacles. And it seemed as though what I learned from that dream, I didn't learn it at the time, but what I was shown in that dream is that when you really put your foot down, when you really are done, or when you really mean something and you really need something or want something, and you're the only one that's going to be the one getting it for you, you have to be the loudest one about your wants and needs. Okay, and Ganesh is definitely a perfect representation of that. Not just being elephant-headed, but just elephants in nature. There is a ceremony that takes place every year in India where Lord Ganesh is honored, where people will get idols of Ganesh and they will release them into the ocean as tribute or as honoring his, you know, his lordship, you know, and giving us help. One way I honor Ganesh is that every time I have a victory, it is said that you will give him money, okay? And the amount of money is up to you, okay? You can give him $1, $0.25, or whichever, but any money that you give him should never, ever be taken back, okay? Now, I am very oblivious to any severe consequences that could come with that. I haven't had it ever happen. However, I do put Ganesh's, you know, offerings in a jar just so people don't get tempted, and it's a jar that people can't see through, so they don't know there's money in there. But every time you overcome an obstacle, especially if you were to pray to Ganesh to help you overcome that obstacle, definitely give him a piece of that victory. It could even be like anything in court. You can give, you know, the notice saying that this has been approved or stuff like that, or a copy of things like that. Whatever you ask for, get him involved with it. Definitely opens you up for more victories in the future. Ganesh is very festive, so he doesn't have a specific color. So whatever color resonates with you, with him, is what he will accept. There is no right or wrong way to do this. I like to honor him with like a bouquet of very colorful flowers and just of multicolored things, because for me in particular, and that's what he seems to like for me. So a lot of multicolored things, and a lot of things that are festive, that things that have to do with celebration, because he is to be, you know, invoked during celebration and even after, you know, during the hard time and after you get your approval. Okay. Next, I'm going to talk about Kai Shen, or who is also known as Tai Sen Ye, which is the Chinese god of money, which is honored throughout the year, but his favorite time of year is during the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, when, you know, we switch signs in the sky, where, you know, it's turning over a new chapter, which Chiron is very involved in, or is very involved in our lives, because Chinese astrology, very, very, very potent stuff, very interesting. But Tai Sen Ye likes to be celebrated on that day. Especially to grant you wealth, if you were to invoke him on that day, because it changes every year. It's always sometime in February. Okay, so find out whenever the Lunar New Year is, and offer Tai Sen Ye some incense, and he will grant you your wishes. But it has to come from sincerity, because it's best that you say thank you to him after the fact, just like every other god or goddess or deity work that you do. Right? Because it's like it happens once a year, the biggest celebration. However, you can always honor him any time of the year, job promotion, anything like that. His color mostly is red, okay, red and gold, which is not an uncommon thing for a lot of Chinese deities. But he likes to be associated with money and all things in money. Now, of course, there are things like inflation, okay? And when it comes to stuff like inflation, be very specific on the amount of money that you need, okay? And if you haven't, you know, researched the things that you need, the cost of it, you need to do that before asking. It's the same as when you invoke Saint Expedite, right? Expedite needs an exact number, because it's kind of like the deities are not going to go on Google and look up the stuff, right? But at the same time, if you're not vigilant enough to look it up yourself, the god or, you know, deity might not be that privy to help you, because you don't seem to be very privy to help yourself, right? It's almost like counterproductive. He also craves positivity, so do your best to come to him with requests in a positive way. But also, you know, relationships are needed to be built with any god or goddess or deity or any spirit of that matter. His is positivity. Try to be as positive as possible, because most of his relationships are transactional. So you want to boost your chances of, you know, getting what you need from him, all right, or what you want from him, to actually, you know, try to actually make a clear business plan. Actually be hypervigilant to help yourself, okay? And that's more respected, and that way it's like you've earned it rather than begged for it. So just keep that in mind when working with Tai Sen Ye. Next up, or next to last, because I can't get away with not talking about Kali or Kali Ma, okay? Because everybody and their mom who talks about Hinduism and God and goddess deity work talks about Kali Ma, because everybody seems to be like afraid because of how Kali Ma is depicted. She's depicted as this blue, you know, four-handed woman, you know, who's constantly out of control with her tongue out, with this, you know, very, very, you know, abrupt, you know, surprised look on her face. But it's really, you know, it's really an aggressive look on her face. Okay, because she's a warrior, she's a collector, she likes to go into battle, she likes to solve problems, and she will solve them by any means necessary. So don't get involved with Kali Ma if you're looking to have a gentle thing done. Kali Ma will grab you, and like, if you got to go 20 miles and you don't have a car, guess what? You're walking with Kali Ma the whole way, no shoes, no nothing, right? You didn't plan on it, too bad, you're going, okay? There's a, believe it or not, people do not get the idea of love from her. However, there is love there. It's a very aggressive, protective love. It's like the highest form of love by invoking the lowest, you know, of vibrations, whereas violence used. It could be name-calling. You know, there could be some impatience. There could be all of the negative things, right, to solve the problem. But it's like the ends justify the means with Kali Ma. The aggression is necessary in this particular situation. You need to work with Kali Ma whenever it's like the person or situation just needs a grenade rather than a knock at the door. Okay? One way I honor Kali Ma is that I don't come to her very timid. It's kind of like, listen, I need this. I've done everything I can. I've done my best. And please keep everything within the as legal as possible, right? Because Kali doesn't really have many boundaries, okay? And if you're going to attach yourself to something illegal, please understand the consequences. So she's active. She's loud. She's fiery, okay? No element. She's not limited to any element. She'll use every element, air, fire, water, earth, all of it. Okay, it's all within her grasp. It's all within us. It's all within you. And that is something that you will remember, especially if you are struggling with standing up for yourself or confidence. Okay, and even childlike confidence. Okay, do you gotta be a bully? No, but I'm gonna tell you right now, you wanna work with Kali Ma, you have got to get in touch with your inner bully and be okay with that and not feel judged in any way, because she's not judging you, and you know, you should not be judging her either. The ends justify the means. Don't ask for a warrior to come in and play nice. That's not what warriors do. So honor her by coming in and having the confidence that you seek. Okay, at least start acting like the person that you want to be. Because Kali doesn't want to deal with the weaker part of you, because all you're going to do is be afraid. There is no fear in what Kali does. Okay, so the you know, elements that she represents is the unruly, you know, and the untamed woman that, you know, she's not supposed to be this or that, and she's all those things. And if you don't like it and you're in her way, she'll cut off your head and wear it as a trophy. And the best part is to just not be in her way, okay? And that's how she handles situations. Unlike Ganesh, who does the stomping, Kali comes in with the knife and is ready to cut throats. Okay, sorry to be so graphic, but let's just, you know, call a thing a thing. Last but not least, we're going to talk about my man Siddhartha Gautama. You know, the Buddha, right? The most famous in Asian cultures, Buddha, right? The king and the master and the god of stoicism, wisdom, patience, okay? Wealth, health, well-being. And everything having to do with centering yourself with the universe, okay? I don't really want to go into the backstory. For the love of God, please do your own research, okay? But the reason why I mentioned Buddha last is because we had to do Kali first. So I thought I'd end on a really stoic note to keep your mind as calm as possible. He teaches us to keep other people's problems out of our life. I would say the first ideas of, you know, protecting your energy came from Buddha, okay? Understanding that he himself came from a very wealthy family and decided to be, you know, like a homeless yogi, but wisdom is what he wanted, and that's exactly what he found. Buddha is the founder of Chinese astrology, because while in meditation, trying to connect more with the universe, 12 animals came to him. And the 12 animals mentioned in the Chinese zodiac are the ones that came to him that he wrote about. And he wrote about the influence that they have over the stars, the planets, and us, and everyone that's born under these signs, their good traits and their bad traits, and understanding that there is more to us than what you can see. Our inner world, our outer world, and also the unseen world within us and without us, right? I know it sounds like really, really like strange stuff, but if you were to follow along with his teachings rather than listening to me, you would get it probably better. The point of Buddha's teaching, just to sum it all up, is to find peace, nirvana, to rise above all your obstacles, that your mind is the strongest muscle that you could possibly have, and that mind, body, and spirit have to work together, understanding the chakras and alignments and how we are one with the universe. At the same time, we can still separate ourselves to make our personal universes expand to a higher vibration. Just to sum it all up, and I know that was very quick, but everybody knows Buddha in general. I do have a collection dedicated to Buddha on my website, just like I have a collection dedicated to Kali. I forgot to mention that. And what we would learn best from Buddha really would be to just stay in our own lane, help others, do your best. But don't forget that this life is really about you and how you find your place in it, however that may be. And to honor Buddha, I honor him with oranges. Pennies, or even like the shiniest copper pennies I can find. It doesn't really take much, because it's really a deity that represents peace, calm, you know, and just harmony. So anything material really is not considered to be valuable, because that's the point. It's to remove ourselves from material things and understand our value. And also the value in others, too. It really is to get a good perspective, you know, get other people's perspective on life, too, and that knowing that you don't always have the answers, and that understanding, in short, right, that everything is going to be okay, and some things are just what they are, right, and we have to do our best to be our best selves every day. And I honor Buddha just by practicing that in my daily life, you know, understanding the laws of karma, because that is a very old, you know, Hindu, idea. But like I said, I named my business after it, and I truly believe in it. And we do always have to work on self, and the fact that we have to work on self is because a lot of the systems in society are used to create monsters within us, when we can consciously not become those things. But society is very repetitive, so we're expected to be these monsters. And when you realize that you are above society and its, you know, its system, that you start to find the God and the Goddess within. And that's really how I honor Buddha in my own way. So just let me know what you think, and let me know how you, you know, how you do these things, you know, and who did I leave out that you might work with that I might be interested in. However, like I said, always wait till they come to you. Buddha has come to me very early in life, just like everybody else. I've seen them, seen the statues, you know, in all the places that I frequent, and I felt very connected to the point where it's like, if I'm in these places, I know there's something to this, and I have felt so much inner peace ever since. So just let me know what you think about that. But thanks for listening. This is Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast, season 10, talking about working with deities, and I will see you in the next episodes. Thanks for listening, lovies. Bye.